ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ सहनाभवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। वी सॉ इन द प्रीवियस क्लास हाउ अक्सेप्टिंग शास्त्रम अस्ति प्रमाणम हेल्प्स अस इन अंडरस्टैंडिंग एंड असर्टेनिंग द फैक्ट दैट ब्रह्मन एग्जिस्ट्स। By understanding Brahman exists, then with the help of the same Shastram, we can understand what Brahman is. That is, one can arrive at reality as one's own Swarupam. Astitva Jnanam should become Asmita Jnanam. Asmitva Jnanam. Aham Brahma Asmiti Jnanam. When that Jnanam happens, then definitely that is the ultimate accomplishment. That is where the freedom is. We understood all that in the previous sessions until we had entered into the Chaturdasha Mantra, 14th mantra. So in Indian systems of philosophy, there are few schools of thought very strongly hold on to the view that moksha is not attainable while living in this world. It means jivan muktihi or sadyo muktihi. Sadhya Mukti means what? Sadhya Mukti, Sadhya Mukti. Immediate moksha is Sadhya Mukti. Jivan Mukti means attainment of freedom while living in this world itself. That is, according to some schools, Jivan Mukti is not possible, but Mukti is something which is attainable only after death, after leaving the physical body, traveling, and reaching a certain realm of existence, Vaikuntham or some other lokas, one can attain moksha. This is a very strong view of well-known schools, one of well-known school of thought in India. But here, according to Advaita Vedanta, and according to Advaita Vision, moksha is not something to be attained at all. Moksha is something which is already there, always there. It is not even attainable. And as the very swarupam of the reality is one, secondless, all pervasive, subtlest. The reality happens to be the subtlest, all pervasive. It is available for recognition also in terms of its nature of consciousness as one's own self, as the Swarupa of the subject. And the same reality which can be arrived as one's own self in terms of its nature of consciousness can be understood also in terms of its nature of existence of anything and everything in the world. In discovering the reality, the freedom, the happiness, which is already there, becomes attained as it were. That is why attainment of knowledge, attainment of moksha are said to be identical. Jnanameva mokshaha. What prevents one from claiming or taking ownership of happiness or moksha, freedom, is the ignorance. There's no distance between the reality and oneself. There's no distance between moksha and oneself. Reality is one's own essential nature. Moksha is one's own essential nature. What distance is one from reality or moksha is ignorance. So ignorance has to be resolved to resolve the distance between the freedom which is already there and one's own self. That is why jnanam is said to be identical with moksha. Jnanam itself is moksha. If jnanam is attained here, even while living in this very world, moksha can be attained. It is said to be jivan muktihi or sadyo muktihi. So, and what is the benefit of attaining the jnanam? Of course, moksha. So that jnanam is attainable in this life itself. If at all a person does not attain knowledge of the truth in this life, if a person is given to the practice of certain disciplines such as meditation, etc., if he earns abundance of punyam, adequate punyam, to attain, to go to higher lokas, Brahma loka, to attain moksha, for that also Shastram prescribes the means. Apart from performing rituals, combining the religious discipline of performing rituals with the practice of upasanam, also one can earn adequate punyam, which will enable a person to travel through a specific route called Shukla Gatihi and to reach Brahmaloka and to attain moksha. That's called a Krama Muktihi. So the possibility of attaining freedom, discovering the freedom which is already there alone, is said to be attainment of moksha. So discovery of freedom which is already there is possible in this life itself, here itself. It's also possible to attain it in higher loka, which is said to be Krama Muktihi. So Sadyo Muktihi or Jivan Muktihi or Krama Muktihi are discussed in the Shastra. So we are going to see in this Chaturdasha Mantra. So Krishna Yajurvediye Kathopanishadi Dityodhyaye Tritiyayam Valyam Chaturdasha Mantra, 14th mantra we have to see here. Okay. And here Shastram itself presents the teaching in such a way that its absolute reality with its unprojected, unmanifested power is said to be Nirgunam Brahma, attributeless reality. Reality, being the subtlest, is of the nature of attributelessness. So Nirgunatvam Brahmanaha Asti. So discovering this abstractness of reality, discovering the reality in terms of its nature of abstractness, subtleness, in terms of its nature of knowing, obtaining as one's own self, one can discover freedom here itself, which is Jivan Muktihi. So finally, it is the Nirguna Brahma Jnanam, knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the abstract reality, which is of the nature of attributelessness alone, will bless a person with the discovery of freedom. This Nirguna Brahma Jnanam Eva Mokshaha. Shastram also discusses another aspect of reality as Sagunam Brahma. What is Sagunam Brahma? Same Nirgunam Brahma only, with its projected, manifested power, is given the நேம் சகுணம் பிரம்ம. அட்லீஸ்ட் தேர்ஸ் நோ குணா, தேர்ஸ் குணா மீன்ஸ் ஆட்ரிபியூட், தேர்ஸ் நோ ஆட்ரிபியூட், தேர்ஸ் நோ விசேஷ விச் எக்ஸிஸ்ட் இண்டிபெண்ட் ஆஃப் த ரியாலிட்டி. And this, the power of the reality itself, when it is projected and manifested, is looked upon as something different from reality, even though it's non-different, then reality is looked upon as Sagunam Brahma. That is when the word Ishwara also comes into the picture. Ishwaraha, the Lord, the ruler of the whole is Brahma. Ishwaraha is Brahma. So presenting the reality as that which lends existence to the universe, thereby from the standpoint of lending existence to the universe of material forms, names and functions, Brahman is seen as the cause of the universe. And presenting the Brahman as cause of the universe, and here Ishwara's status also is attributed to Brahman. The Ishwara's status is attributed to the reality, attributeless reality, then the Ishwara, Brahman is said to be Ishwaraha, Sagunam Brahma. So we don't have two Brahmans. Of course, this has been already made very clear. It's only Brahma. There are not two Brahmans are not there. Only Brahma looked at from two different standpoints. Seeing the reality as the powerful reality, the power which is inseparable from the reality is Sagunam Brahma. The same reality looked at from the standpoint, looked at differently as the one with this power manifested is Sagunam Brahma. Anyway, when we say Sagunam Brahma, then Sagunam Brahma becomes an object of meditation. So the upasanam being a mental discipline, it cannot remove ignorance, but still it definitely is a great discipline which contributes for mental steadiness, mental preparedness. Therefore, upasana phalam will be meditation, the result of meditation will be the attainment of the Saguna Brahma Upasana, will help a person attain this Kramamukti. Nirguna Brahma Jnanam will serve as a means of attainment of Moksha here itself. So this is the subject matter we are going to see in this following 14th Karika. So, in Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the mantra first. Evam Paramartha Darshinaha. So, Paramartha Darshi. Paramartha, Paramaha Arthaha Paramarthaha. Pratama Tatpurusha Samasaha. Paramaha Arthaha, the exalted reality, absolute reality, is Paramaha Arthaha. The word Arthaha there means reality. So Parama Arthaha, Paramaha Arthaha, Paramarthaha, absolute reality. And Paramartha, Paramarthasya, Darshi, Yasya Darshanam Asti, Saha Paramartha Darshi. Nakaranta Pullinga Shabda. So Paramartha Darshi is the one who has the vision of the absolute reality. So what is the benefit of having the Paramartha Darshanam? What is the benefit of having the vision of the absolute reality, the ultimate truth? That is discussed in the 14th verse, 14 mantra, sorry. Yada sarve pramuchyante. I mean the mantra now. யதா சர்வே ப்ரமுச்யந்தே காமா ஏஸ்ய ஹ்ருதி ஸ்திதாஹ. யதா சர்வே ப்ரமுச்யந்தே காமா ஏஸ்ய ஹ்ருதி ஸ்திதாஹ. அத மர்த்யோ மிருதோ பவத்யத்ர பிரம்மசமஷ்ணுதே. I'm not breaking first. Without breaking, I'm reading. Proper way of reading the mantra. Yada sarve pramuchyante kama yesya. Yada sarve pramuchyante kama yesya hridisthitaha. Atha martyo mruto bhavatyatra brahma samashnute. Yada sarve pramuchyante kama yesya hridisthitaha. அத மர்த்தோ மிருதோ பவத்யத்ர பிரம்ம சமஷ்ணுதே. We break it. யதா சர்வே பிரமுச்யந்தே காமாஹ யே அஸ்ய ஹ்ருதி ஸ்திதாஹ. அத மர்த்யஹ அம்ருதஹ பவதி. அத மர்த்யஹ அம்ருதஹ பவதி யத்ர பிரம்ம சமஷ்ணுதே. சோ இன் தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் லைன் மந்த்ரா ஸ்டேட்ஸ் ஆல் தி டிசையர்ஸ் பிகம் ரிசால்வ்ட். ஐம் கோட் சே டெல் யூ த மீனிங் ஆஃப் எவ்ரி வேர்ட். வெயிட் ஃபார் மீ டு கம் டு த மந்த்ரா. All the desires become resolved for good, which means no desire can be triggered from your subconscious mind. No desire can be triggered from subconscious mind means desires will be resolved for good. My God, how is it possible? Shastram states, resolution of all the desires is possible only when a person becomes free from the sense of inadequacy centered on I. See, this is the way Pooja Swamiji used to teach, okay? This is the fact also, this is the actual teaching. As long as this common human fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I is there, so long will there be the phenomenon called desire, natural phenomenon called desire, will be there in the mind. And then varieties of desires will be cropping up. So desire is actually an expression of the symptom of the disease of the fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I. That is why it is said desires, the reason, immediate, called samip, immediate cause of the desire. What is that which causes the desire? What is that which really makes the desire to rise? It is the common human fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I. It's a very strong notion, the part of every individual, that I am inadequate. Inadequate in terms of positions, possessions, wealth, knowledge. Of course, inadequacy is there. And why this inadequacy is there? Unless and until this fundamental problem becomes resolved, it is impossible to undo the desire. It's impossible to resolve the desire. It is impossible to prevent the desire from rising. That is why we have to understand the fact we do not have any say at all over any of the thoughts which rise in our mind, because thoughts are not produced by us, created by us. Thoughts, the desires in them of thoughts just rise on their own. It is not created by us. That is because of this fundamental problem. And the fundamental problem is there because of the wrong notions we have about the self. The erroneous notions we have about the self, which is called ahankara. I told you already what is ahankara again. Ahankara is also nothing but any attribute added to the knowledge of self-existence is ahankara. Ahankara kaha. What is ahankara? Erroneous notion one has about one's own self is ahankara. And what is erroneous notion? What is ahankara? How erroneous notion is what? There is naturally knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. This knowledge is something there which rises naturally only in him, the human mind. It is also said to be self-awareness or self-consciousness. I am. I know I am. So, but this knowledge, I am, is, Swami says, used to say, it's a beautiful. It's a blessing in this case, because of which you're able to discover what you are. Without this knowledge, we also would have been, you know, remained in total ignorance, like animals, other plants. It is this knowledge which distinguishes from other animals, other beings. It is this knowledge which makes a human being, you know, the most sophisticated, most exalted of the living creatures. So, knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am is there. Anything added to this knowledge, other than the word I am, the absolute reality. I am the all-pervasive reality, Atma. I am the reality which is of the nature of infinitude. Other than the adding this word Brahman or Atma, if you add any other word, I am a doer, I am an enjoyer, I am small, I'm insignificant, I'm inadequate, I'm insecure, I'm unhappy, I'm confused, I'm sad, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm fat, I'm tall. Any adjective, any word describing some attribute, some visation, okay? Any word added to I am, other than these two words, okay? Brahma Asmi, Brahma or Atma. any other word you add, that is what? Addition of an attribute. So the knowledge of self-existence, which is a blessing, when with added attribute becomes ahankara. When do we add those attributes? As I'm tall, I'm fat, I'm thin, or I'm unhappy, I'm doer, I'm enjoyer. Anything you add to that, aham, asmi. That attribute is added to the knowledge of self-existence, I am. Only when a person superimposes the attributes which do not belong to the Atma, but which belong to the non-self, which belong to the material body, mind, sense complex. Different attributes, dharmas of anatma, body, mind, sense complex, are taken to be the attributes of the atma. And this taking the attributes of the body, mind, sense complex to be the attributes of the self is said to be adhyaropaha, superimposition of the attributes of anatma upon the atma. The superimposition of the attributes of anatma upon the atma happens because of the adhyasaha. Adhyasaha and adhyaropaha mean the same. Okay? But here, when the attributes are superimposed upon the atma, we call it adhyaropaha. When the anatma itself is taken to be the atma, it is adhyasaha. Same. Why the attributes are mistaken? Because anatma is taken to be the atma. This erroneous perception of anatma as the atma is what? Adhyasaha. And this error happens in the perception of the self because of self-ignorance. This is the basic teaching, but you have to remember here. Okay, I do not know what I am. I do not know that I do not know what I am. So helplessly, being inseparable from the anatma, body, mind, sense complex, because atma is all pervasive. Naturally, there is no distance between atma and anatma. There is no distance. Though atma is distinct, there is no distinct. Distance. Therefore, this self-ignorance, this partial ignorance which we have of I know I am, but I do not know what I am. I do not know that I do not know what I am. It is this ignorance of one's essential nature. There is knowledge of the existence of the self. There is no ignorance of the existence of the self in the waking state. But there is ignorance of the essential nature of the self in terms of what I am. It is this ignorance of the essential nature of the self results in the erroneous self-perception called adhyasaha. Adhyasaha contributes for adhyaropaha, the superimposition of the attributes upon the atma. That is when the erroneous notion, the notion one has about oneself becomes erroneous notion. These notions are based on taking the attributes of anatma as the attributes of the atma. And it's not that one wants to have an erroneous notion. Not that one has fun in that. It is helplessness. Shastram understands our helplessness. Helplessly, choicelessly, we all entertain this erroneous notions, ahankara. So all these attributes that are added to this knowledge of self-existence should be resolved. No, we should understand Atma is of the nature of attributelessness. But in our notions, we mistake the Atma to be having all these attributes. All these attributes should be resolved. For which one must understand what one's essential nature is. If a person has the knowledge of the essential nature of oneself, Atma, then there'll be right knowledge vision of the Atma. Erroneous perception of the Atma will be corrected. Then there'll be right vision of the Atma, vision of the self, in terms of aham, dukkhi asmi, sukhi asmi, all will be resolved. I'm unhappy, I'm unhappy, I'm fat, thin, tall, etc. I'm sad, upset, etc. All this will be resolved. I'm the door, I'm the jar, all these notions will be resolved. What will be the vision? What will be the aham? Atma asmi, aham brahma asmi. It's called asmitva jnanam, asmita jnanam. Brahma asti, tad brahma aham asmi. When this knowledge rises, how shastra pramanam, only with the help of the shastra. Shastram is here as the means of knowledge. And the desperateness to know the reality, know one's own essential nature is also there. As a jignasu, as a mukshuhu, with the help of the teacher, guru, with the help of the shastram, when a person recognizes, arrives at the essential nature of the Atma, then all the attributes will resolve, then the vision, in right vision, there will not be ahankara. There will be jnanam. A resolution of ahankara happens when jnanam takes place. That's why ahankara also you do not give up. Okay? Ahankara goes away by itself. Puja Swami used to say, you are not holding on to ahankara for it to, okay, try to drop it. You can never drop ahankara. Ahankara will resolve by itself in the wake of knowledge of what you are essentially. So when Astitva Jnanam becomes Asmitva Jnanam, all the wrong notions resolve. Ahankara resolves. Then Aham Brahma Asmi. When the knowledge rises, the wrong notions go, I am inadequate. That notion will resolve, because in the wake of knowledge of one's own self being Brahma, or all-pervasive reality Atma, one sees fullness, limitlessness, infinitude being one's own essential nature. Why? This abstract formless reality is ever of the nature of infinitude, ever of the nature of fullness, of happiness, ever of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, seeing oneself through Atma, seeing oneself from the standpoint of the abstract reality, which is the exalted fact also, one does not need to attain happiness, because happiness in terms of fullness is already one's own nature. When a person takes ownership of fullness, infinitude, limitlessness as one's own essential nature, then the sense of inadequacy centered on I becomes resolved. This fundamental problem is a common human fundamental problem. Not one human being has. Universally, all human beings naturally, helplessly, choicelessly have this problem. This problem becomes resolved effortlessly when a person's perspective, when a person has right perspective. And the perspective change happens as a result of the vision of the Atma. This wrong notion resolves, fundamental problem also resolves along with the wrong notion. Ahankarena saha. Okay. This fundamental problem also resolves. When this fundamental problem resolves, it all doesn't happen one by one, simultaneously. Okay. Naturally, all disease also will become resolved for good. There's no desire. They say there's no desire. Binding desires will not be there. Desires which impel a person to go against dharma will not be there at all. Oh, how is it possible? Because in the wake of the jnanam, when the fundamental problem is resolved, the sense of inadequacy centered on I becomes resolved, the person definitely is already reveling in the vision of fullness, being one's own essential nature. Therefore, this person, jnani, is no more dependent on results of actions for his happiness or security. Please make a note. This is the teaching. There's no different teaching. In any point you study, this is the teaching. The jnani is not dependent on anything external for his satisfaction for his security, for his happiness. And this becoming free from dependence for happiness, security, and satisfaction is actually freedom from emotional dependence. The person is free from dependence. As he's not dependent on the external objects or his results of actions or anything in the world for his happiness anymore. Naturally, desire for anything in the world also resolves. The need will not be there. Tevai. The need will resolve. This is the beauty of the knowledge. In knowledge, in right perspective, the fundamental problem being not there, erroneous notions being not there, the desire, the cause of the desire is not there. The root cause of the desire, ignorance, is not there. Immediate cause of the desire, the fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I, is not there. Naturally, how can desire arise? Because the need is not there. It's called an emotional need of wanting to be different from what I am. Emotional need of wanting to be happy, wanting to live long happily, being not there. The fundamental desire being not there, need being not there, desire does not arise. If at all desire arises, those desires are definitely non-binding desires, which do not impel a person to go against dharma. Because the person is not dependent on the fulfillment of desires for his happiness or security. This is how desires will be resolved. Okay? When all these desires resolve means what? It's the resolution of desires, resolution of non-binding desires, resolution of the desires which prompt one to go against dharma, resolve for good. Naturally, other emotions also cannot be there. Anger will be resolved. Jealousy will be resolved. Hatred will be resolved. Anxiety will be resolved. Fear will be resolved. Fear, because wrong emotions have gone. When all these emotions, as looked upon as mental impurities, all of them also resolve, then a person is, the person sees the nature of the reality being timelessness also. This reality which a person has claimed as one's own self, aham brahma asmi, in asmitva jnanam, aham atma asmi, aham brahma asmi, in this knowledge, this is the right vision of one's self, right perspective of oneself. One sees oneself being immortal. One sees immortality, timelessness, beginningless, timelessness being one's own essential nature. Atmanityah, Brahmanityam. Why? This reality is beginningless. Yes, it is causeless, endless, changeless, independent. This is the nature of the reality. Timelessness is the nature of reality, not that reality. That is how reality is. So understanding the reality in terms of nature of timelessness also helps one take immortality as one's own essential nature. So Jnani does not need to become immortal. Immortality is his very nature, Swarupa. Therefore, discovering immortality being one's own essential nature is what? Becoming immortal. Such a person, while living in this world itself, here itself, he is free from the bondage of samsara. He is called Jivan Muktaha. And even when his parabdha karma gets exhausted, even then, the person's mind also will be resolved for good. Physical body will get disintegrated like any other ajnani's physical body. Physical body will get disintegrated in this world itself. And mind also will be resolved here itself. So this jnani will remain as Atma, will remain as Brahma. He has been always Brahma. Before, in ignorance, though he has been Brahma, he did not know he is Brahma. But in jnanam, he knows. Therefore, what? He continues to remain as Brahma. Okay, remaining as Brahma is what? Becoming, is said to be becoming Brahma. Mind resolves, body becomes disintegrated, the I sense resolves, okay, remains as Brahma. There's only Brahma. When the mind resolves, there's no way of assuming a body, again being born again. This not being born again, assuming a body, because of the resolution of the mind, is said to be videha muktihi. It's called absolute immortality. In Tamil, we say beautifully, meendum piravamai. Videha muktihi. So the mantra says here, in the wake of the right vision of one's own self being Brahma, when the fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy resolves, naturally, all the binding desires also resolve. All desires resolve, in fact. So it is said, yada sarve kama pramuchyante. See now, you need to have some basic understanding to come to this point. Yada sarve kamaha pramuchyante. Sarve kamaha pramuchyante. When all desires become released, literally it means released. All desires become released means what? When you become free from the hold of desires, okay? When all desires resolve, and what are those desires? Where are they? Ye kamaha asya hridisthitaha. See, all, no desire is a brand new, fresh desire. Okay? All thoughts, all desires, see, desire, anger, pain, all of them always remain latent, dormant in one subconscious mind in subtle form. So, atisukshma vrittayaha. Okay? All of them always there. Desires are there. Desires are there in subconscious mind. You know, anger is there, pain is there, everything is already there in your subconscious mind. When they do not be surface, we think they are not there. When the symptoms are not seen, we think we are healthy. The disease is there, the symptoms are not there, when we mistake ourselves to be healthy. Really speaking, as long as ignorance is there, all these emotions are there. In subtle form, much subtler form, in subconscious mind. But in given situations, these emotions become triggered, they surface. Now, that's why it said, Asya Hridishritaha. Hridishritaha. Hridishritaha means what? Hridisthitaha. Shritaha, in this context, the word shritaha should be taken as sthitaha. Hridishritaha. Ye kamaha, relative pronoun. Ye kamaha, those desires which obtain in one's mind. The word hrid, it can mean atma, it can mean mind, it can mean physical heart also. But here we take it as mind only. Ye kamaha asya hridishritaha, those desires which obtain in one's mind, when all those sarve kamaha, all those desires, yada pramuchyante, when all those desires become resolved for good, as a result of the resolution of the fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy centered on I, in the wake of the right perspective, in the wake of the clear vision of one's own essential nature being fullness, limitlessness. Atha, it is then martyaha bhavati. The person becomes immortal. He becomes immortal means he takes immortality as one's own essential nature. Amrutaha bhavati. Martyaha means this mortal human being. In ignorance, when a person has identity with the body, mind, sense complex, when he is ahankari. Who is ahankari? One who has ahankara is ahankari. One who entertains a wrong notion about the self is ahankari. So, then he is a martyaha. I am a mortal. This notion he entertains. Because his identity is with the body. So this martyaha, this mortal, ignorant human being, when he has the vision of the self, he is no more martyaha. He is no more mortal. Amrutaha bhavati. Instead, the mortal human being, in the wake of the vision of his essential nature being limitlessness, timelessness, immortality, he becomes immortal. Martyaha amrutaha bhavati. Mortal becomes immortal. Martyaha, a mortal, amrutaha bhavati, becomes immortal. Does not become, he takes ownership of immortality as his own nature. So he attains jivan muktihi, he attains videha muktihi also. So this attainment of jivan mukti and later on videha mukti is said to be what again? Attainment of immortality. So this person becomes immortal, means he remains as Brahma. Yatra Brahma Samashnute. The word Samashnute literally means eats also. The one of the meanings of the verb Samashnute means eats, enjoys. But here, Brahma Samashnute means what? He remains as Brahma. He attains Brahma is literal meaning. Okay, he attains Brahma. Brahma Samashnute, the person attains Brahma. Please understand, for want of expression, we have to say Brahma Samashnute, he attains Brahma, which means he remains as Brahma. He is already Brahma, or he is always Brahma. He remains as Brahma. Okay? This is about attainment of Brahma. Because you can never attain Brahma. You know why? You are already Brahma. Wave can never become water. It is already water, always water. Can never become water. Similarly, you can never become Brahma. Again, you can never attain Brahman also. you only attain the knowledge of Brahma. Okay, attainment of knowledge of the reality, obtaining as one's own self is what? Attainment of Brahman. In the wake of knowledge, remaining as Brahman is what? Attainment of the status of being Brahman. Okay, this literal meaning of the mantra. So I'm going to read the Bhashyam now. You can see the how ye kamaha asya hridi shritaha te sarve kamaha yada pramuchyante tada atha martyah amrutah bhavati yatra brahma samashnute. So when all desires obtaining in the mind become resolved, then the person who mistakes himself to be a mortal discovers himself being essentially immortal, which alone is said here as that he attains Brahma. Okay. Now we are going to see the Bhashyam. Here, before we go to see the Bhashyam, so what does it say now? Jnanam, the moksha is already there as your own Swarupam. You need not attain. In fact, discovery of yours, what you are, discovery of the reality obtaining as one's own self itself is what? Discovery of the freedom which is already there. So all that you need for moksha is attainment of jnanam, nothing else. That if you attain the jnanam here while living in this world, you discover moksha here itself. Which means there's no need for one to go anywhere. After death, travel is not required for discovering freedom. Attaining freedom. That is the fact he wants to emphasize in his commentary first. Why he has to say desire? See, according to Advaita, according to Vedanta Shastram, desire is a natural phenomenon which rises in of a thought which is material in nature. Desire is material, even though desire is a very, very, very subtle thought. That's why you can't even describe what desire is. You can only say, I have desire for something. What exactly is this desire is? You cannot draw, you cannot paint, you cannot describe, you cannot, you can only say, oh, there's something which comes and which makes me do things. You can say that because very subtle phenomenon. It's a thought. It rises in the form of a thought. See, all emotions rise in the form of a thought only. Inexplicably subtle thought. Still, of course, Atma is the subtlest. The thought itself is very, very subtle. Inexplicably subtle. And desire also, like other emotions, rise in the form of a thought, subtle thought, which is material in nature. How do you say it is material in nature? Because desire is an object of knowledge. Desire, though it is inexplicably subtle, still it is an object of knowledge. That anything which is an object of knowledge is of the nature of inertness. Jadat, okay? Drishyatvat, jadatvam, jadatvat. We say what? It's a matter, material in nature. So, Atma, the knower of the desire, the only knower being Atma, the knower of the desire being Atma, is distinct from the known desire. Desires come and go. Even the desire is not there, Atma is there. In the waking state, when there's knowledge of self-existence, desire also is there. In deep sleep state, when the knowledge of existence is not there, all desires remain dormant. Desires remain resolved. Desires are not there. Desires come and go. Okay? But desires are not always there. So, the knower of the Atma, the observer, experiencer of the experiencer, being Atma, is distinct from the known, arriving, departing desires. So, Atma is, the knower Atma is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, which is free from the hold of desires. Atma, the consciousness, does not have desires. There's no desire on the part of consciousness. Desire is a phenomenon which enjoys its existence, being known by coming to light in the presence of consciousness, Atma. Desires is something which rises and resolves in the presence of consciousness. So consciousness implied with Atma is always free from the desires. Atma is of the sort of desirelessness, in fact. Whereas, there is a specific school of thought known as Vaiseshika, system of philosophy. Vaiseshika. Vaiseshikas are of the very strong view that for their very view of Atma is wrong. So, they think Atma is endowed with 8 properties. And this desire also is one of the 8 properties of the Atma. Which means, according to Vaiseshikas, Atma desire is the property of the Atma. Atma is not any property. But they think Atma has properties. And one of the 8 properties is this here, your Atma. Atma is endowed with this property called desire. This is the view of Vaiseshika. Therefore, Shankaracharya states very clearly, this is only their view, their contention. One can have any contention, one can have view anything as one wants. But for that, if a person comes with a conclusion, this is the Atma is of 8 properties, and this is one of the properties. For that, he must have an evidence, proof. But we people who hold on to Shastram as the Pramanam, we have to see things from the standpoint of what Shastram states. And we understand the standpoint of the Shastram. Then we also analyze what we understand from the Shastram logically. Using the reasoning, then we ascertain what Shastram states. So Vaiseshika, even though Vaiseshikas also use reasoning only as the pramanam, reasoning pramanam, still they have their strong conclusion. Therefore, Shankaracharya is going to refute their view in his commentary, okay, using this, commenting upon this particular mantra. Again, the word hrid. See, hrit is the word. Hrid. Dakaranta shabda. Hrid. Hrid is also like hridayam. ஹிருத் ஆர் ஹிருதயம். ஹிருதயம் மீன்ஸ் தட் விச் இஸ் தி கோர். சோ ஆஸ் த மீனிங் ஆஃப் தி கோர், த வேர்ட் ஹிருத் கேன் மீன், ஆஸ் ஐ ஆல்ரெடி டோல்ட், ஹிருத் லிட்ரலி மீன்ஸ் த பிசிக்கல் ஹார்ட் விச் பம்ப்ஸ் தி பிளட் ஆல் ஓவர் தி பாடி. அண்ட் ஹிருத் ஆல்சோ மீன்ஸ் அந்தகரணம், தி மைண்ட். ஹிருத் மீன்ஸ் பிசிக்கல் கோலகம், ஹிருத் மீன்ஸ் த இந்திரியம் அந்தகரணம், தி மைண்ட். சம்டைம்ஸ் சம் கான்டெக்ஸ்ட் ஹிருத் ஆல்சோ மீன்ஸ் தி ஆத்மா. தெர்ஃபோர் தீஸ் சைசேஷிகாஸ் ஆல்சோ கேன் ஸ்டேட் வாட் ஹிருதிஸ்திதாக, த வேர்ட் ஹிருதிஸ்திதாக. சோ உபனிஷத் மந்திரா ஸ்டேட்ஸ் சர்வே காமாக ஹிருதிஸ்திதாக, ஆல் டிசைர்ஸ் அப்டெயின் இன் தி ஹார்ட், மீன்ஸ் தே டு நாட் டேக் தி மீனிங் ஆஃப் த வேர்ட் ஹிருதி ஆஸ் தி மைண்ட், தே டேக் தி வேர்ட் ஹிருதி ஆஸ் தி ஆத்மா. சோ தே ஸ்டேட் வாட் தே ஆல்சோ கேன் சே, உபனிஷத் இஸ் தி பிரமாணம் ஃபார் அஸ் விச் ஸ்டேட்ஸ் all the desires obtained in the atma. Why the word hrid means atma also? No, here the word hrid may mean atma some context, but here it definitely means only mind. Again, we know desire is a phenomenon which is an object of knowledge which comes and goes, whereas the reality implied by the term atma does not come and go, is always there as a no witness, witnessing the presence of desires, absence of desires, ever being distinct from the desires, atma is there. Okay, so he is going to explain this in his commentary. Okay, let us see here. Yada yada means what? Yasmin kale, yasmin kale. Okay, when exact? When sarve kamaha, all desires. So sarve kamaha, he comments upon as what? Kamayitavyasya anyasya abhavat. So he does not really does not comment upon the word sarve kamaha. He takes it for, he assumes that we already know the meaning. So yasmin kale yada, when sarve kamaha, all desires, kamayitas kamayitavyasya anyasya abhavat pramuchyante. Pramuchyante, he comments upon the word pramuchyante. What is the meaning of the word pramuchyante? Vishiryante. Pramuchyante is equal to vishiryante. Vishiryante means what? Resolved. Vishiryante means wear out. Okay. So, this resolve, wear out. He gives the reason here. Why the desires resolve? Why the desires wear out? Okay, why the desires wear off? Why the desires wear off? Because the reason is given. See, het varte panchami. I want some students to make note of it. The reason, whenever the reason is given, fifth case is used. Abhavat. The desires wear off due to the absence. Abhavat. Absence of what? Absence of kamayitavyasya anyasya abhavat. Due to the absence of another thing which should be desired. Which should be desired. Kamayitavyam means what? Should be desired. So potential passive participle. Kamayitavyam means should be desired. So kamayitavyasya அன்யஸ்ய அபாவாத். Due to the absence of another thing which should be desired. Okay, desires resolve. See, from the standpoint of a jnani, there's only Atma is. Very subtle teaching, okay? Don't take it for granted. From the standpoint of a jnani, a wise person, who has discovered the reality of the universe obtaining as one's own self, in his vision, from the standpoint of the truth, absolute reality, there is only Atma. There is no second thing other than the Atma. If at all there is something second thing, if at all there is a seemingly existing second thing, that is as though real, that is not real. A person who has this clear understanding that Atma is the only reality, Atma alone is, everything other than the Atma is only as though really not there. Absolutely, there's no second thing. Relatively, the countless number of things. Absolutely, there's no second thing. So, there's no second thing. Then how can there be desire for something which is not there, which is not really there? The reason he gives, for a jnani, it is not for ordinary person, okay? For a jnani, or a wise person, as there is no second thing which is really there, which should be desired, which can be desired, the desire resolves. Desires wear off. Kamayitavyasya anyasya abhavat. Abhavat, because of, due to the absence of a second thing which is not there, so which should be desired for. Natural desires resolve. It is the miracle, okay? This is the real miracle of jnanam. This is one reason. Here, this is the reason. I gave another reason already. The fundamental problem resolves in sense of inadequacy resolves. Okay. Therefore, what? That's one reason. In jnanam, the person revels in the vision of fullness. Therefore, needs are not there. Inadequacy is not there. Therefore, desire also resolves. Desire is possible only if there is a need. Only if there is this sense of inadequacy. I gave that answer already. But here, Shankaracharya gives a much subtler reason. I tell you, the reason which I gave you is a simple reason. Also logically correct. That's why I told you already that one. You had to remember that reason also. But here, he says what? For a jnani, absolutely, there's no second thing. Nothing is Atma alone is there. Then the second thing must be there for one to have desire for the second thing. Therefore, there's no reason for the desire to arise from the standpoint of the Atma. Kamayitavyasya anyasya bhavat kamaha vishiryante, whereof. Okay. He says, ye, those desires, asya, prak pratibodhat. Prak pratibodhat, asya vidushaha pratibodhat vidushaha hridi. Those desires which were there, which are obtaining in the Hridi means what? Buddhav. Buddhav means what? In the mind. The word buddhi here means antakkanam. Ye kamaha, those desires, hridi, buddhav, shitaha, ashitaha, means what? Those desires which were obtained in the mind of this wise person before the attainment of jnanam. Pratibodha means knowledge. Pratibodhat prak. Pratibodhat prak. Before the attainment of knowledge. Before the knowledge. Those desires which obtained in the mind of a jnani. When he was a jnani, those desires which were there in his heart, those desires obtaining in the mind of an ajnani before the rising of knowledge, those desires wear off. Which means, of course, they were there in ajnanam. In jnanam, they wear off. That is all. Okay. Now he says, buddhihi hi kamanam ashrayaha. Buddhihi hi kamanam ashrayaha. See, ashrayaha means what? Okay, a seat. In the antahkaranam, mind is the seat of desires. Buddhihi kamanam ashrayaha. Hi, indeed. Buddhihi hi buddhirhi kamanam ashrayaha. Mind is the seat of desires. Na atma. Na atma. Definitely not. Atma is not the seat of desires. Atma does not have any desires. Desire is not an act, desire is not a property of the Atma. So Atma does not have, Atma is not the seat of desires. It is the Antahkaranam which is the seat of desires. It is the mind. Kamanam ashraya. Buddhihi hi kamanam ashrayaha. Na Atma. Okay. Having stated this, so in this statement, he has refuted in his commentary on this verse, helping us have the right vision. He also refuted, okay, Vaiseshika's view. Okay. And to support this, his commentary on this Kari, on this particular mantra, he also gives another Shruti Pramanam, another evidence from Shruti, Veda Shastram, especially Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So third mantra of the fifth section of the first chapter, what is the mantra there? Kamaha Kama Sankalpaha. The word Sankalpaha means the Sankalpaha stands for mind. Okay. So, kama sankalpaha, kamaha means desire. So, this specific mantra, he doesn't quote the whole mantra. He just quotes important words, which themselves state definitely desire rises only in the mind. Mind is the seat of desire, which means mind is a state of experience. Mind is state of experience. And we have three states of mind in terms of as three states of experience. In the waking state of the mind alone, when the mind is fully functional, desires rise. Desires are triggered to surface from subconscious. when the mind comes in contact with the external world. Therefore, and there, Atma, the knower, witnessing Atma is nothing but witness consciousness, knower consciousness, is distinct from the known phenomenon called desire. For kama sankalpaha ityadi shutyantarat cha and ityadi shutyantarat, because of the statements of Shruti, statements of Upanishad, such as kama sankalpaha, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also, it is assertively said, emphatically stated, definitely desire is not an attribute, desire is not a property of the Atma, desire, okay, has the mind as its seat, desire rises and resolves in the mind. Okay, I'm going to the next line. Atha, then tada, okay, when the desires bear off in the wake of knowledge of the right perspective of the self, tada martyaha prak bodhat, prak bodhat means what? Prak prabodhat. Bodhaha prabodhaha means knowledge. Prak means before. Bodh prabodhat prak martyaha asit. This person, as ignorant person, was martyaha, was a mortal human being before the attainment of knowledge, because of his erroneous perception of the self. Saha, that person. So, pratibodhat prak martyaha asit. This human being was a mortal before the attainment of knowledge in ignorance because of his erroneous self-perception. But saha, that same mortal human being, prabodhottara kalam, uttara means after, later, prabodhottara kalam means what? Prabodhottara kalam, after the rise of knowledge of the self, after the attainment of knowledge of the self, avidya kama karma lakshanasya mrityoho vinashat amrutaha bhavati. That human being who was a martyaha before the attainment of knowledge becomes immortal after the attainment of jnanam. Does he become immortal? No. He takes ownership of immortality as his nature. See, taking ownership of immortality as one's own nature is what? Becoming immortal. When prabodha uttara kalam, after the knowledge. After knowledge means what? After the attainment of knowledge. After knowing. After knowing the truth, the person becomes immortal. Amrutaha bhavati. So, for which you have to give the hetu. Reason has to be given. What's the hetu here? What's the reason? Vinashat. This way you have to learn to, the style of the Bhashyam. Vinashat. Vinashaha, destruction. Vinashat, because of due to the destruction. Destruction of what? Destruction of due to the destruction of mortality. Destruction of the death. Mrityoho vinashat. Oh, the destruction of death happens. Okay. Death means here what? Mrityuhu. See, mrityuhu here, the death, mortality implies what here? Death hand. Samsara, okay? The life of transmigration is fraught with what? Births and deaths. This, the beginning, the cycle of births and deaths. The life of transmigration, the beginningless, endless life of transmigration involving constantly many births and deaths, that becomes resolved. And it is characterized by what? Avidya, kama, karma. See, the death actually implies samsara. What is samsara? Not death happens only once. There's a beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. A person is born, lives his parabdha, exhausts his parabdha karma palam, accumulates new agami, when parabdha ends, dies, again comes back, because the mind doesn't die, body, physical body goes, again assumes a new body, comes again. This is a beginning, endless. It is there continuously. That mrityu becomes destroyed. How? In the form of avidya, kama, karma. The samsara surveys because of what? Ignorance, avidya. See, avidya is the root cause of samsara. Ignorance. And this, because of ignorance, I told you, there's adhyasa. Because of adhyasa, there's adhyaropa. Because of adhyasa, adhyaropa, there's a wrong notion, ahankara. Because of ahankara, there is fundamental problem of inadequacy. Because of inadequacy, there is a asha, desire, kamaha. So he used for kama. He leaves everything else. Ignorance is the root cause of desire. Okay? Avidya, then kamaha. Kama, the result, desire alone is the cause of the action. Desire impels the person to do something or the other. We have to do something, think. Okay, then think first, mental activity, then also physical activity. Physical, mental, and oral activity also. You think, you speak, you do. Physical, oral, mental activities are all expressions of one's, the pressure of the desire. Therefore, here, kamaha, desire impels the action. You do something, you say something, you think something. It's all because of the desire only. Therefore, specifically physical oral activities. Karma, the desire impels the action, and the action definitely produces result. When the action is performed, no action can go without producing a result. The result will be ordained by the natural law. Results will be there. Therefore, karma. The word karma does not mean action. The result of action impelled by the result produced by the action impelled by the desire caused by ignorance. Understand? Avidya, kama, karma. Avidya, kama, karma. Shankara Bhagavatapada reduced everything, samsara, to three words. Avidya, kama, karma. Avidya, kama, karma. Ignorance is there naturally, beginninglessly. Anadi avidya is there. Because of ignorance, there's desire. Because of desire, the action produces results. And to exhaust the result, one has to be born again. Because this results of actions will not happen before a person dies. Therefore, avidya kama karma lakshanaha mrityuhu. The mrityuhu here implies samsara involving births and deaths in the form of ignorance. Ignorance caused desire, and desire impelled action, and action produced result. Avidya kama karma lakshanasya mrityoho vinashat. My God, the samsara, because of the resolution of samsara, which is, okay, in the form of karma, kama, and ignorance. In the wake of samsara, what happens? Ignorance goes. Ignorance resolves, as he's told, desires also will resolve. Desires are not there. Therefore, in one more thing, in the wake of knowledge, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, these notions also will resolve. All wrong notions resolve. Atma does not do any action. Atma does not experience any pain and pleasure. Atma is free from all this. Therefore, in the wake of knowledge of one's own self being Atma, the all wrong notions resolve. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. These notions also resolve. Therefore, the person becomes free from what? Sanchita karma, agami karma. The paravada also becomes exhausted. No more karma. That is what he is there for. Mrityoho vinashat. Avidya kama karma lakshasya mrityoho vinashat. The no more karma to be exhausted for a jnani. Sanchita karma is not there. Why? He is free from enjoyership. He is free from doership. Atma does not have punya papam. Therefore, the person just shifting his identity from anatma to atma in right perspective, having resolved all the wrong notions, the person sees already the real self being free from sanchita agami karmas. This is what seeing oneself being free from doership and enjoyership. Thereby, the person takes ownership of immortality as his own nature. This is how the person becomes immortal. Mrityoho vinashat amrutah bhavati. Prabodhottara kam. In the wake of knowledge, perspective change happens. All wrong notions resolve. And ignorance resolves. Ignorance causes desires resolve. Desire, no, doership goes, enjoyership goes. Therefore what? No more samsara. Become, thereby, he is free from. While living, he is free. And after exhaustion of part of the karma, mind will resolve and he will not be born again. Therefore, he becomes immortal. Okay. No. Gamana prayojakasya mrityoho vinashat. Gamana prayojakasya mrityoho vinashat. Gamana anupapattehe atra ihaiva pradipa nirvanavat sarva bandhana upashamat brahma samashnute. Okay. Now when a person becomes immortal, what happens? Brahmaiva bhavati. He becomes Brahman himself. Means what? He remains as Brahma. So Brahma samashnute. He attains Brahma. Attainment of Brahman also implies what? Attainment of moksha. So he discovers moksha. He discovers Brahman being one's own self. Thereby, he remains as Brahma. How? What is the hetu here? Sarva bandhana upashamat. Sarva bandhana upashamat. Upashamaha. Resolution. Resolution of all bandhana, all bondage. He is no more bound by limitations. Because of, due to the resolution of all the bonds, upashamaha means resolution. Due to the resolution of all the bonds. Okay. Resolution of all the bonds means what? You have to understand. Gamana anupapattehe. Gamana anupapattihi. Gamanam means what? Moving. Literally means going, moving. So going from one place to another place. Okay. Going from one physical body to assuming another physical body is what? Gamanam. For every ajnani, there's a gamanam. Means travel. Travel means what? The mind. What is gamanam? See, what is death? Let's understand first, to understand the whole sentence here. Death is nothing but departure of the antahkaranam from the physical body is death. This mind which leaves the physical body, along with the mind, all the 10 subtle powers, the physiological functions also will leave. Pranaha, jnanendriyani, karmendriyani, 11 aspects will leave. Okay, the pancha pranaha means only one vital air. Okay, I say reduce 5 into 1. Vital air, pancha karmendriyani, jnanendriyani. 11 along with the mind. When the mind goes, all of them will live together. Mainly departure of the mind. And who determines the existence of mind in the body? Who determines the departure of mind from the body? It's all prarabdha karma phalam. Okay. The law determines. Okay. Bhagavan in the form of natural law, in keeping with the punyam papam a person has in one's life, once you have exhausted the power of the karma phalam, you will not be allowed to stay in the body even for a second. You're sick or old or young or thing, you have to leave. Departure is the mind from the body is determined by power of the karma phalam. Therefore, when the power of the karma exhausts, a person leaves. Determined by Bhagavan Him of law and order. This departure of sukshma from the sthulam is said to be death. And once the sukshma leaves, where does it go? The next set of parabdha will be ready. In keeping with the next set of parabdha, again the person will assume another body, enter into other mother's womb, again stay for 9 months, get a full-fledged grown body, again come out, be born again go through the life of pairs of opposites, exhaust the parabdha. Again the parabdha gets exhausted, again leave, again assume another body. So mind cannot be destroyed. Sukshma shariram itself cannot be destroyed. How can you destroy the Atma? Atma is absolutely indestructible. Sukshma also is indestructible. Sthulam can be destroyed relatively. Sthula shariram can be destroyed relatively means what? It can be deformed. You can, total destruction of the physical body is also not possible. Can be reduced to ashes finally. Can be cut into pieces. That's all you can do. Totally it cannot be destroyed. It will continue to be there in some other form. In some of elements, in the form of, okay, mineral for other plants, it will be there. So relative destruction of the physical body is death. For the physical body to get disintegrated, to be destroyed, relatively, the mind should leave the physical, sukshma should leave the physical body. And the departure of sukshma is determined by Bhagavan in the form of law and order, in keeping with the Paradha Karma Palam. When Paradha Karma comes to an end, the mind sukshma leaves, assumes another body. This is what death, isn't it? But here, and when an ignorant person dies, okay, that we have to understand, what happens when the ignorant person dies, the mind leaves the physical body, go to another mother's womb, assume another body. And that, where it should go, which body should it assume, that is also determined by, again, law and order, Bhagavan, name of natural law, in keeping with one's punya papam. Again, next set of Paradha Karma Palam. This continues, is called Gamanam. Going from one body to another body. Here, no choice. It is not our choice. We have to understand. This is what understanding helplessness. There's no choice. We're all here today with our bodies. We did not have any choice of being born here. Not being born here. We were born. It's ordained, predetermined. With a given body, with a given parentage, with a given background, we are born here. In keeping with whatever we had. Some punya papas. Okay. This is one, this is also gamanam. Another gamanam is when a person practices meditation, performs rituals, and because of one's strict religious practice or religious disciplines also, a person can earn some specific, unique, abundance of punyam. See, being given to the strict practice of religious disciplines, performances of pujas, worship and rituals, practice of meditation, those specific religious activities. We call them sacred activities. Also, apart from one's mundane activities, specifically religious activities or sacred activities, one can earn special punyam. If a person has a special punyam, adequate amount of punyam, an abundance of punyam, one can leave this human physical body and can go to higher plane of existence, go to another worlds. There are Shastram talks about six worlds above this human world of mortals. And highest of the worlds is Brahmaloka. One can go to any other loka, exhaust the punyam, again come back into this world. Or your person has abundance of punyam, adequate punyam, which a person has earned as a result of combining the performance of ritual along with the practice of meditation, he can go to the highest of the worlds, which is also what? And how does he go? He doesn't go with the physical body. He goes, the sukshma goes, and there, assuming appropriate body there, and that we can't explain, okay? There the person again attains jnanam in Brahmaloka, and he attains moksha there. So moksha is attained after going to Brahmaloka, involves the order. Therefore, it's called Krama Muktihi. There's a journey involved. Like this, there's a travel is involved on the part of this mind. We say jiva because there's manifestation of consciousness always. This jiva involved, if a person is ignorant, only for ajnani, this travel is possible. Gamanam is possible. Suppose the person practices Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. If a person is always given a discipline of contemplation, contemplation dwelling upon one's own essential nature, going through the discipline of Shravanam and Mananam, having understood the nature of reality, nature of self, and contemplating upon it, a person has the clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of one's own self being Atma or Brahma. His perspective of the self changes. Perspective of the world changes. For him, there's no second thing other than the reality. Only Atma is there. Only reality is there, absolutely. If at all, there's something of his as though for him. It's only appearance of the Atma. A person has the jnanam. For such a person, where the knowledge is total knowledge. Purnam jnanam. When a person's jnanam is purnam jnanam, total knowledge. What is total knowledge? Aham asmi is partial knowledge. Aham brahma asmi is what? Total knowledge. Astitva jnanam is partial knowledge. Asmitva jnanam is total knowledge. When a person has total knowledge, where the total knowledge is there, means mind will be resolved. The total resolution of the mind completely is possible only if a person has total knowledge. Purna jnanam is there. The purnatvam also, the sense of fulfillment also, then mind will be resolved. Purna jnane purnatvam. The sense of fulfillment, absoluteness, okay, this completeness, fullness is possible only if a person has total knowledge. I, the self, am the reality of infinitude nature. When this jnanam is there, then mind will be resolved. And the paradha karma becomes exhausted, the wise person's mind will not be traveling. Cannot travel, it will not be there, it will be resolved. The mind is that can travel. Travel means what? Then go to other body, go to higher loka, any travel, any form of travel is possible only if the mind exists. Mind will be resolved for a jnani. Therefore, no more gamanam. Travel is not possible. Therefore, it is, he said, gamana anupapattehe. Gamana anupapattehi means what? Due to the untenability, impossibility of travel. As the mind will be resolved for good, mind being not there, travel being not possible, gamana anupapattehe, mrityoho vinashat. Okay, being born again, samsara is also not possible. Okay, what happens? The person becomes free from all forms of bonds. Is it clear? Is it clear or not? Okay. Because Kathopanishad only now takes you to much higher level. Make you understand. Okay. Like what? He gives an example. See, gamana prayojakam. Gamana prayojakam means what? Gamana prayojakam means the need for the journey. The need for the journey is what? The cause of the journey. Okay, the cause of the journey is samsara, isn't it? Death also. That itself is not there. See, death becomes dead. In jnanam, death of the death happens. Death of the death happens in jnanam. Death becomes dead. Only if there's a death, if a person is born, goes through the paradha, exhausts the punya papa karmas, paradha karapalam, then the person dies. The death happens, then travel is possible. Isn't it? this jnani no more death. It's called a destruction of the death of the death. Ajnani has death. Ajnani dies. Dies means what? Ajnani's mind, leaves the physical body, survives, and assumes another body. Whereas Jnani's mind dies. Jnani's mind will be resolved. Death of the death happens. Jnani is free from bondage of death. Because he has become already immortal. How? Not by doing something, shifting the identity, or correcting the perspective. If you think you are a mortal, you have your mortal. If you know, you don't think you are not mortal, okay? You don't simply know. You know. In jnanam, you do not think. You know you are immortal. In ignorance, you think you are a mortal. What is the difference? In ignorance, you think you are a mortal and you are very strong in your thinking, therefore you are a mortal. In knowledge, you do not think you are immortal. In knowledge, you know you are immortal. Got the difference now? Do you see the difference or not? You know you are immortal, therefore you are immortal. This out, the death being not there. Death of the death happens. Therefore, what happened? You don't kill the death. Okay, understand there's no death is what? Killing the death. To know there's no death for you, you must see yourself from standpoint of Atma, not as the body imagines complex. Okay, therefore, he says what? In the wake of the jnanam, after the attainment of jnanam, the death being not there, gamana prayojakasya mrityoho vinashat, due to the resolution of the very notion that I am a mortal, the need for the travel, need for the move of mind being not there, because mind itself is not there. Your mind must be there for it to travel, isn't it? Mind itself will be resolved. In Purna Jnanam, mind will be resolved. Mind is not there. Therefore, what will travel? Therefore, what happens? Gamana prayojakasya mrityoho vinashat. Gamana anupapattihi. Because of the resolution of the mind, the death being not there, the need for travel being not there, there is no travel possible. Therefore, iha eva atra, iha eva here in this life itself, sarva bandhana upashamat, due to the resolution of all the bonds, pradipa nirvanavat, pradipa nirvanavat. Like turning off the light. You can say pradipa nirvanavatu. Like the putting out of the flame. Pradipa nirvanaha. Nirvanam. Nirvapanam. Nirvapanam means turning the light off. Nirva, deepam nirvapayati. Deepam jwalayati lights the lamp. The nirvapayati puts off. Turns off. Switch off. Nirvapayati. But here, deepa nirvanavat. Nirvapanam nirvanavat. Nirvapanavat. Nirvanavat. Okay. Vat means like. Like the putting out of the lamp. Lamp means what? The light. Putting out of the flame of the wick, the light. The person becomes free from, due to the resolution of all the bonds, does not become Brahma. He remains as Brahma. Remaining one with Brahman, remaining as Brahman, is what? As though becoming Brahman. Brahma samashtute brahmayo bhavati ityartha. Okay. See, in jnanam, when the mind becomes resolved for good, physical body becomes disintegrated here. Nothing is here. Nothing, only the person remains as the reality, Brahma. No trace is left behind. Therefore, what? There's no possibility of returning into this world. He will not be born again, which is called Videha Muktihi. No more travel. Understand? See, in Mundaka Upanishad, you learnt beautifully. Just as it is not possible to see footprints of the bird in the sky when it flies, you cannot see the footprints of the fish in the water. Similarly, you cannot trace the persons. Nothing is left here. Therefore, it's impossible for a jnani to come back. A jnani cannot come back. If at all somebody comes back and people talk about the Mahatmas coming back and all that, that is only then there is Siddha Purushas, not jnanis. Siddha Purushas can come back. Jnanis will not come back. Okay. Brahmaiva Bhavati. Any questions here?
Swamiji.
Yeah.
The Vaisheshikas, what do they use as their basis? So we use Shastram. What do the Vaisheshikas use?
Of course, very, see, most of them use only reasoning, logic as the Tarka Shastram. For them, they use only their reasoning. And using their own reasoning, sometimes people accept the Veda also, but still, for them, the main means of analogy is only their own reasoning. And they use Veda to support their views. Whereas in Vedanta, we Vaidikas, for us, Veda Shastram is the first and the best Pramanam. We also use logic to reinforce, to ascertain what has been already understood from Shastram, what is revealed by the Shastram. Reasoning should be in order to support what Veda states. But they, some of them are Avaidikas, do not accept Veda Shastram. They use only reasoning. Some who accept Veda Shastram, still they use only a secondary Pramanam. For them, primary Pramanam is reasoning only. So all their conclusions and views, contentions are based on the reasoning, based on their own, their experiences and the reasoning. That is why they are great thinkers and ordinary people. Still they their views are easily refutable sometimes. Sometimes we have to involve a lot of thinking. We also have to give evidences to refute them, to prove their views being wrong. So again, this refutation of views not for really anything as our own clarity. It is for our clarity. We have to see the fallacies in others' thinking. Seeing the fallacies in other thinking, not to be controversial, not to put them down, not to undermine them, not to humiliate them. Definitely it is for genuine reason, for purpose, our own clarity. These people must understand. for our not to compromise with the fact. Okay. Any other question? I'll see you tomorrow. Okay. See, the word mrityuhu here literally means death. It also implies samsara. Okay. Being free from samsara means what? Being free from the cycle of births and deaths. See, death is possible only if a person is born again. Person can be born again only if the mind survives. So mind will not survive. Mind will not survive because there's total jnanam. Again, the total jnanam, there the person's identity is no more with the body, anatma, identity is with the atma. And the consciousness is ever of the nature of immortality because of its nature of timelessness. Timelessness implies what? Changelessness also. Beginningless, endless, changeless. Therefore, timeless, eternal. Therefore, the person remains immortal as Brahma. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Okay. If you have any questions here, I think repeatedly listen to the unfoldment here based on this Bhasham. You understand how the style, the Bhasham style. Every time you reveal any conclusion is presented, immediately there must be proper evidence. Means proper reason. Hetu must be presented. See, Gamana Prayojakasya Mrityoho Vinashat Gamana Anupapattehe Sarabandha Upashamanat. All, how many times Shruti is used? Because of this reason, because of this reason, because of this reason, this is the conclusion. Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.